Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Hello? Could this be the new top wireless company calling?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Verizon Wireless and its British partner Vodafone are bidding to become the number one cell phone operator in the U.S. Talks are underway to take over Alltel with a price tag of nearly $30 billion. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The deal is complex. Three telecom companies, two private equity firms, and three investment banks are involved. That means plenty of opportunity for crossed wires and missed connections. But if the takeover goes ahead, it will create America's biggest cell phone provider. With around 80 million subscribers, the new group would easily overtake the current number one, AT&T. Analysts say the deal looks good. The new group could save up to $1 billion a year by combining operations. And for Vodafone, the attractions are clear. The U.S. has a lot of potential growth. 20% of Americans don't own a cell phone, while in many of the mature European markets, there are more cell phones than people. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Bank of England and the European Central Bank both look like they're going to leave interest rates alone today. Bank officials seem to be preoccupied by thoughts of inflation, not unlike our own Fed Chair Ben Bernanke. Even as oil keeps coming down, it's below $122 this morning. There are plenty of inflationary concerns. The Dow was down 12 points yesterday to 12,390. The Nasdaq picked up 22 points to 2503. The S&P 500 fell a fraction to 1377. It was a mix for Asian markets today, and it's a mix right now in Europe. Today, a House panel begins debate over how to spend $2 billion. It's money President Bush requested for an international clean technology fund. From Washington, Jeremy Hobson takes a look at where the money might go.
The Clean Technology Fund aims to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions of developing countries. While they're busy growing their economies, this fund will help them go green, says Jacob Worksman at the World Resources Institute.
Part of that is technologies. So it could be introducing large-scale solar or wind power. And part of it is about improving the policies that make that possible.
The World Bank will likely handle the international fund. The mandate says the money should be used for transformational action. Kevin Ummel at the Center for Global Development says the fight will be over just what transformational means. Environmentalists worry that the World Bank's definition is too lax.
The policies we put in place need to be serious about introducing clean technology right now and very quickly.
The fund will also be a big topic at next month's G8 summit. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Here's how someone chose to spend $850,000. The purchase of the writing desk and chair used by Charles Dickens to write Great Expectations. Christie's Auction House says the buyer of the mahogany desk and walnut chair claims to have made his fortune in the psychic readings business. The furniture was handed down through the Dickens family.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thriveand.com/retirement. And by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart. Information at womenheart.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
We're in the final countdown to summer, a reminder to many of how difficult it is to get fit. In fact, my gym bag seems to be staring at me back at my desk. I didn't use it yesterday or the day before, and it knows. But running a successful fitness business may actually be tougher. Tim Haft invented a unique aerobics class in New York City. Now he's trying to figure out how to rope more people in. From the Entrepreneurship Desk, Bridget Bergen reports.
On a cool spring evening, about 20 men and women gather in a New York gym. Some are dressed like serious athletes, others sport tattoos and piercings. They're all here to skip.
Little swing, guys!
Good. Ropes whirl, and the participants jump furiously in time to driving punk rock. Tim Haft directs the action. He started jumping rope in high school, at about the same time as he started listening to this kind of music. He got the idea of combining the two for a fitness class at New York University. 4 years on, fitness centers and colleges in 13 states offer punk rope classes. Haft's Punk Rope Inc. makes about $40,000 a year. Most of the money comes from training new instructors. Now he's looking for new ways to build his business.
You know, we want to scale it to the point where there's enough students in it and it has enough recognition that a line of DVDs starts to make sense.
He may be in what you could call a fad business.
That's Ed Rogoff from the Field Center for Entrepreneurship at Baruch College. He says fitness startups are particularly challenging since they're so influenced by industry trends and individual taste.
Is this the next Richard Simmons or Taibo or some other, rowing machine that you end up seeing on late night television infomercials that lasts for a couple of years and then sort of fades away?
As punk rope has become more popular, Haft has thought about franchising. But Rogoff thinks Haft would be better served by defining punk rope's brand and target audience.
There have been multiple audiences, and we haven't quite figured out which one seems to be most excited and fired up about punk rope.
While punk rope finds itself, Haft is still training instructors to teach new classes.
This week alone, there was some interest from Chicago, Nashville, Atlanta, and Cleveland, which is pretty awesome.
And Haft isn't just counting on the classes in future DVD. Punk Rope recently started selling a name brand jump rope through its website. It's called, appropriately, the Slasher. In New York, I'm Bridget Bergen for Marketplace.
For more from The Morning Report, visit marketplace.org. Thanks for listening in Los Angeles. I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.